The word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
I say God is good, and all the time. We are coming your way from Deliverance Assemblies of God, House of Destiny, located at Pifam Down, near Ebony Hotel. I welcome each and every one of you, especially those of you who are here for the first time and those of you who are following online. The Lord bless you for coming and for joining. Hallelujah. And before we go into the Word of God, yes, we want to read a few scriptures. I want to continue by the grace of God with last Sunday's message that the Lord gave us. But today we have additional scriptures and additional points. The points that we could not finish last week, we want to finish them. Before I continue, I want to announce to you that at the tail end of the service, the family of our brother Oforiquedom are here. We will be celebrating them, calling them and praying for them. Since they came for the second service, it is believed that they will stay through. And so, they will stay through, so we can do it at the tail end of the service. Last Sunday, our theme was, you will not miss your appointed time and place. But today, our theme today is a little bit altered. Don't miss your appointed time and place. Don't miss your appointed time and place. So, media, check your theme again. Today, 26/09/2021. Don't miss your appointed time and place. Had it not been that they've put the theme there, I would have read the scriptures first. We want to go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3. Habakkuk chapter 2. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Can I have it in King James? Please, King James. For I say unto you, no, King James, of the same scripture, Habakkuk 2:3. Okay, let's go to, it is, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Somebody should say, at the end it shall speak. At the end it shall speak. Say to yourself, at the end it shall speak. Say, at the end it shall speak. Say, I believe in the word of God that at the end it shall speak. Say, you devil, hear the word of God that at the end it shall speak. Say, you devil and you agents of darkness, no matter what you are doing against my dream, against my destiny, against my testimony, that says the word of God. Although it tarries, I am waiting for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. I say your dream will surely come. I say your dream will never tarry. I say that word you are holding on to will surely come to pass. It shall never tarry. Do you know why it will surely come to pass? Because it is a word of God. It is not the word of man. God backs his word. God and his word is inseparable. The word of God is the breath of God, is the intention of God and the mind of God. If you want to know God, read the Bible. You understand who God is.
You understand his will. You understand how he wants issues to be handled. Hallelujah. We also want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, say, oh Lord, give me understanding of the times. You see, I am teaching you how to pray scripture. We are just praying scripture right now. Say, oh Lord, give me understanding of the times. Give me understanding of the times. Give me understanding of the times. Now say, oh Lord, give me understanding of my time. Give me understanding of your time for me. Then he says, to know what Israel ought to do. Say, oh Lord, help me to know what I need to do. What I need to do. What I need to do within my appointed time. Oh Lord, help me to know what I need to do. You see, that's how we pray scripture. And this is one of the most powerful prayers. What you have said right now. If you know how demons are running away. If you know the demons that have been assigned to attack your dream. If you know the way they are getting frozen because of what you have just declared. Hallelujah. To know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. And all their brethren were at their commandment. A tribe of Israel, 200 men, their duty was what? To discern the times. They were the eyes of Israel. They were the eyes of what? Israel. Spiritual eyes of Israel. Say, oh Lord, give me spiritual eyes. Give me spiritual eyes. Give me the spirit of discernment to discern my times. Hallelujah. Let's also read Luke chapter 19, verse 44. Luke 19, 44. Thank you, media. They will dash you to the ground. You and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. King James says, you miss the time of what? Your visitation. You see, when you miss God's appointed time, God's kairos time for your life, when you miss the time of God's visitation for your life, disaster comes. Disaster comes to you. Misfortune comes to you. When you miss God's appointed time, Jesus was speaking to them. He had come. Jesus was their visitation, but they did not recognize him. They did not welcome him. They did not accept him. And he said, because you miss your time, a day is coming when you'll be dashed to the ground and the children within your walls, they will all dash. The enemy will come and destroy you. Say, Lord, help me not to miss my time. The last scripture, Matthew 5:18. Matthew 5:18. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Amen. As I announced to you last Sunday, I preached on the theme, you will not miss your appointed time and place. And today I've modified the same theme. And so I'm speaking on the theme, don't miss your appointed time and place. Don't miss your appointed time and place. It is in God's power to decide your appointed time. It is in God's power to determine and decide the appointed time that he has set for you. the Kairos time, the Kairos season and moment that he has set for you. That is his power and determination to decide. But it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. Hear it well. It is your responsibility to discern God's times and seasons for you. It is your responsibility to discern God's time and season for you. Many people miss God's time and seasons. Many Christians are missing God's time in the and season because they are living in the flesh. They are just worldly. They are looking at people around them. So God's time has come. Look, Jesus' days. Jesus visited places. But they were blind, spiritual blindness. So they didn't know that this is their savior. Until before they realized their time was gone. Last Sunday, I made some very powerful statement that your testimony is not everywhere. Your testimony is not every time. Your destiny is not every time. Your testimony has a particular time, a particular season to manifest. Again, your testimony or destiny is not everywhere. Your testimony and destiny is not everywhere. Your testimony and destiny is connected to a particular place. It's connected to a particular place. So, as I have said, it is our sole responsibility to passionately seek God to know our time and season and place of our testimonies. Hallelujah. As I said last Sunday, we should understand that there are processes that God will take us through before our appointed time. Why are we to wait? According to Habakkuk, it shall not, even though it tarries, wait for it. Yes, wait for it. It shall not lie. Why are we to wait? There are processes. There are trainings and testings that God will be taking us through. There are processes. There are maturity, schools of maturity that God will need to take you through for your appointed time to come. Otherwise, you will mess up. In the course of the service, I will make some point that I made in the first service. I will reserve that for it. There are processes. These processes are trainings and testings. Then there are principles to obey. There are rules. There are also procedures. The way and manner in which things must be done. These are the things you need to understand. Some of you have been sowing. You have been serving God. You have been faithful. And then you are thinking, God, why have I been serving you and doing all manner of things and nothing appears to be happening? Yes. Why is that not my prophetic word and my dream is not coming to pass? There are processes. There are processes. There are trainings. There are testings. Yes. There are procedures. There are procedures. There are procedures. There are processes. There are principles that you need to understand. Like I said in the morning, the moment I call you, or a prophet or somebody gets a word for you, the moment that word is declared for you, do you know that you are in trouble? You have been given warfare. Yes, because three people heard that word. God who sent it, the devil was also around, and you. And the devil's assignment is to stop that word. That's the nature of the devil. The devil is called an adversary, an opposer, an accuser, a blocker. That is his ministry. To block, to oppose. There is nothing good in him. That's why those who go from prophet to prophet, give me a word. What have you been doing with that word? So many prophetic words come with a lot of responsibility. And as I said last Sunday, I'm going over again. There are certain things that you need to understand for your timely delivery or for the timely delivery of your testimony and destiny. At its appointed time, there are key things that you must know and understand. Number one, as I said last Sunday, your time and destiny is connected to a particular place. That is a particular spot, a particular local church, a particular environment, a particular country or nation at a time. At a time, there are stages in your testimony. At each stage, God will take you to a particular place, a particular spot, a particular country, a particular church. Some of you will stay in that church forever. You may visit other churches. Some of you too, you will stay in that church for some time, some years. Yes. And God will take you to another place, another level. These are facts. In Genesis 28, as we heard it last Sunday, Jacob was running away from the brother and got to a place when night had fallen and he needed to sleep. So he found a stone and put his head on it so that he could rest. The Bible said that in the night he had a dream where he saw a staircase touching the heavens and the earth. And he saw at the top of it the Lord standing there, and the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him and said, "The grounds where you are, yes, this land I'll give to you and your descendants." And spoke many words to him. Jacob saw angels climbing up and down. And he saw the place as the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. Meanwhile, it was an armor groove, a place where armors have grown. So the people call the place Luz. Luz means armored groove. It will surprise you that some people have been going there to even rest. They only saw the place as a resting place. They never knew that that is the gateway of heaven. They never knew that that's what the place where angels come and go up. But it took Jacob, a man in the spirit at that time, to know that this is a gateway of heaven. And he changed the name of the place Bethel. But you know, earlier on, many years in the past, that place was where his grandfather Abraham had built an altar and called on the name of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Yes, Genesis 12, 8 and 9. His grandfather Abraham had built an altar there. And the stone he picked was one of the stones that his grandfather used to build the altar. That's why we always say that an altar is a converging point of the supernatural and the natural. And this also teaches you that be careful what you do, for it will affect your children's children. If you build an altar to the devil, demons will never stop harassing your family. If you build an altar to the Lord, angels will continue to minister to your family. Hallelujah. When Jacob got there, Jacob discerned. My prayer for you is that you be spiritual. You should be spiritual. Look, when you are carnal, a carnally minded person, a carnal Christian is disaster. A naturalist, somebody who is just seeing things with the eyes and interpreting things with the natural eyes, you are a disaster. You are a disaster to yourself, a disaster to the people around you, a disaster to your family. Because you will not see what people see. Yes. You get to a place where God is standing here. Because you didn't see God with your physical eyes, you say, but there is nothing here. Meanwhile, your angel is standing there. May God open your eyes to see. May God quicken your spirit so that you know your appointed place and time. You know, again, when you read Genesis 26. Genesis 26. God's father Isaac. Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. Isaac was settling in the land called Gera, where King Abimelech had given him a place. And because of the sins of the king, God withheld the rain. So there was famine in the land. And so everybody was fleeing. Like how in Africa, everybody want to go to Europe. Everybody want to go to America because of bad economic situations. The same thing happened in Gera. Everybody was leaving to Egypt because at that time, the Egyptian economy was doing very well. Isaac also wanted to go, but God said to him, stay here. Don't go. Stay here for a while and I'll be with you and I'll bless you. Your destiny is connected to Gera. Your destiny is not in Egypt. Don't follow the bandwagon. Stay here for a while. Let me tell you, church, may God give you the spirit of discernment to know your appointed place. I know many people who have run to countries and they died there. They ran to countries and they became useless. Who tells you that your destiny is in America? Your destiny is in Europe. Who tells you that it is only when you travel outside that you can make it in life? When the Lord opens the door for you, please travel. When the Lord gives you that opportunity to travel, travel. But never live your life and think that it is only when you sit in aeroplane and land there. Yes, that is when you can make it. It is never true. It is where God sends you. In fact, a gentleman came to me who has arrived from Europe and want to come and settle down. He said, Pastor, now Europe is useless. Europe is useless. He said, Pastor, all my friends who came down to Ghana 5 years ago, they have made it. They have made it big. Those of us who are still there, we are struggling. So now I've also come. If I knew, I should have followed my friends to come down 5 years ago. He told me businesses that they are running. Some were into farming. Some are dealing in car parts. Some are dealing in this. Say, Pastor, Ghana here, there is money. They have made it big. Who tells you? Some of you are just dreaming. I thank God for this. Look, now the world has changed. The only savior, the only salvation is to know the will of God. To know where your destiny is connected to. Yes, of course, there are better systems and better things over there. But it is where God has sent you. Hallelujah. May you locate your appointed place prayerfully. Locate it prayerfully and stay connected. Hallelujah. The second point we saw was that your testimony and destiny is connected to a particular person, a particular pastor, servant of God. And as I explained it last week, when I say a particular pastor, a particular person or servant of God, I am not talking about the person in person, but the grace, the anointing, and the ministry that person carries. It has something to do to your destiny. You don't just get up and become a member of a church. Pray and ask God, where is my destiny here? What do you have for me here? Do you have something for me in this church? Do you have something for me with this man of God? And when God says yes, then stay connected. Give all your heart out. Give your support. Do everything that you are supposed to do. You see, last week we read a few scriptures. But today, I've added another one. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 to 18. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 to 18. Paul was saying that you may have thousands of guardians, But in Christ, I became your father. See, even if you had 10,000, look, 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Let's continue to verse 18. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Imitate me. That is Paul. Imitate your spiritual authority of father. For this reason, I have sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. 18. Some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you. This is a problem. This is a problem. Find your particular grace personality. Locate that person prayerfully. Stay connected in heart and faith. You know, there are people who think that before I said it, let me tell you, God is the one who calls. But no matter your call, the principle is that God will use human beings to train you. God will pass your training through human beings. He will use a man of God or men of God to do what? To train you. In fact, there are certain, look, life is about knowing principles. For instance, even our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is God, by who became man. Jesus is God, who became man. When he became man, that was when he was Jesus. But he was God, he is God, and still God. But there was a time that when he needed to step into this realm of mankind. And God has ordained that before any human being will come into this world, he must come through a woman. He must come through what? A woman. So God himself obeyed his own principle. He limited himself by the help of the Holy Spirit, entered into a young woman and stayed there for 9 months and came out. And by the law of development, he said anything that starts small will become big. Or anything that has become big must do what? Must start very little. So Jesus Christ, being God, entered into a young woman, Mary, stayed there for 9 months, developed, and appointed time, came out. A baby of all babies. He also had to learn and grew. He had parents. The Bible said that he was submissive to what? To his parents. He grew in wisdom and stature. And he had favor with God and with men. Beloved, this is the principle of God. Otherwise, Jesus could have just appeared like that. But I am God. I am God. I can just go. No. God obeys his own word. He obeys his own principles. And God has ordained that even though he is there, he will use a human being to train you. He will use a human being to do what? Train you. This is why many youth are making mistakes. This is why a section of ministers are making mistakes. They are growing with arrogance. You saw verse 18. Some of you have become what? Arrogant. Arrogant. Paul was saying. He said, you may have 10,000 guardians. Look, you may have 10,000 pastors who pray for you, who lay hands on you, who counsel you. But you have only one spiritual father. Only one. Only one. And let me tell you, his voice supersedes all the 10,000 voices. His voice. Not that he's too powerful, but God knows that he's the one he has given to you. And so God will not bypass his word. God will respect his word that I have placed you under this man So I will listen to his word over you. Hallelujah. This way, some of us make mistakes. I can also hear from God. There's a group of arrogant and rebellious and stubborn, youth, stubborn people, men of God, who just start to operate some grace. They stretch their hands, people begin to fall down. And so, yes, I'm also anointed. I'm also anointed. Yes, God can use me. It is true. Listen to me. There are levels. That you stretch your hand, people are falling down. It's a sign. It's a sign that the hand of God is upon you. But it is not maturity yet. It is not maturity. Oh. It's not maturity. You need to stay under authority to grow. You need to stay under authority to be mentored. You need to stay under authority to be chastised, to be well prepared so that you can last. Sometimes you'll be stretching forth your hands for 10 years. Miracle, things will be happening. But for 10 years, you are not yet ready. You think you are ready. But before God, you are not ready. Depending upon the depth and the height of the ministry to which God is calling you, you are not yet ready. I've gone through it. I've gone through it. Yes, I was healing the sick. I was performing miracles many years before I went to Bible school. I was casting out devils many years before I went to Bible school. And even after Bible school, I wasn't easily recognized. I wasn't easily recognized. Then church members will come and say, are you not a pastor? Why are they not giving you a chance to preach? The whole year, we haven't heard your voice. The whole year, only opening prayer, only closing prayer. It was training. It was training, part of the training. Part of the training. Look, God will take you through many things. He will test you in the area of morality with women. You must pass the test of women. Because you are going to handle women. You are going to handle people's wives. So he will bring ladies around you. You must pass that test. He will test you with poverty. You must pass the test of poverty. The test of what? Pride. When people are hailing you, when you stood there, man, you have the anointing. You are a man of God. Why don't you open your church? Why don't you do this? Hey, the way you are doing this, look, you are even becoming greater than the pastor. Church members, so that's what they will be telling you. Look, honestly, my brother, when you stood there, your anointing is heavier than the pastor. Your anointing is also. If you are not smart, if you are not smart to know that they are digging your grave and you let it enter your head, and so now you will not listen. Yes, I think it is true. Like some of them are still doing. Yes, I think by now, yes, my anointing, I should be myself now. I should be so and so. Let me tell you, you will not get anywhere. They are all testings. You'll be tested with poverty. I have worn shoes with holes. Shoes with what? Holes. There are people who are refusing to believe that I wore shoes with what? Holes. I used to put card under the shoe. And in the rainy season, especially when you are walking in the night and you mistakenly step in a pool of water, the next moment you realize, you feel that your socks is now touching the ground. I was wearing one shirt and one trousers. Do you know why? I prayed for 6 months. God, I need a shoe. I need a trousers. God didn't answer me. When my senior pastor came for America in 1985, he brought me a moccasin shoe. Fine shoe. When I put my leg inside, unfortunately, it was oversized. But I said, I will take it. I will stuff newspapers into it, and it will fit. Immediately, I left his gate. I heard a voice. Send the shoe to man of faith. Send the shoe to Ekwe, your friend, at the Bible school. I said, I rebuke that voice in Jesus' name. I curse this voice. How can God give me a shoe and then you devil, you are telling me that I should give? The Lord, you see, as for God, he will be patient. I heard, say, send the shoe. This shoe doesn't belong to you. Fountain Gate Bible School was located at where Central University College is, Mataiku. That was Fountain Gate Bible College. Not the Isud Anaba Fountain Gate. The original Fountain Gate from Texas, United States. It was a Saturday. I was crying tears. When I was walking from North Kandeshi through Bubuashi, through First Light, tears were running. People were looking at me. I was crying. Ah, God. When I got there and I said, I'm looking for my friend, everybody was looking for him. Then somebody said, he's praying under the staircase. And they have used decorated blocks at the staircase there. When I peeped through, he was thanking God for the shoe. Lord, I thank you 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 for the shoe. I was standing there with the shoe. I said, Jesus. When he finished and he came out, I said, this is the shoe. He said, my friend, don't joke with me. I'm serious. I said, this is the shoe now. Open it and see. He opened it and started jumping. Lord, I thank you for the shoe. In my heart, I said, you don't know. I was angry with God. You know what God was doing with me? He was testing me that without shoe, will you still go to church? Without shoe, will you still go and lead prayer? With only one dress, will you still go? He was testing me. And I still go. In fact, one time on the pulpit, this man of God disturbed me so much. And he said, everybody should kneel down. And those of us on the pulpit, we have to kneel down. And then the congregation will see. I said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man has disturbed me today. This man has disturbed me. Then I said, who knows? Maybe somebody will see my bare, this thing, and then somebody will give me a shoe. Nobody gave me a shoe. Nobody gave me any dress. God was testing me. He will take you through testing. He will bring you under an authority. Yes. He will cause people not to see that you have a need. No. He will cause people not to see your need. Yes. He will cause your family people to neglect you. He is testing you. He is serving you for tomorrow. For what he has for you tomorrow. So that tomorrow when you get there, he can release all into you. Sometimes your testing can be long, many years. Let me tell you, you can never tell the number of years God will test you. He only knows. And it depends upon your submission. Today, by the grace of God, as I stand here, I have said this several times. There was, 2019, I put my hand somewhere in it, I remove it. When I counted the shoes that were there, 22 brand new shoes. 22 brand new shoes. And I don't know when I put them there. Because when we come to church, somebody will give me a parcel. I go, when I'm tired, I throw it somewhere. I throw it somewhere. I throw it somewhere. It was my wife who told me that, hey, if you don't wear them, they will spoil. I never knew. I thought, just keep them. He said, they will start spoiling. And when I started checking, some of them have started opening and all that. Today, by the grace of God, because I've passed the test, I am dressing well. I used to crack stones at Malam Stone Quarry for my Bible school fees. I pushed truck at Kaneshi Market. Yes, as a Bible student, I was pushing truck at Kaneshi Market. People would see me say, Pastor. And then I would hide my head. I went and bought a cap, a long one, so that I would hide myself. Boja, my mates were seeing me. I said, God, why did you allow this man to see me? Humiliation. Today, the youth are not prepared to go through it. Many people are not prepared to go through it. So we are not lasting. We are not receiving the anointing that will last. There is an anointing that lasts. There is a prosperity that lasts. Somebody should give me Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18. Proverbs 8:18. What does it say? There is a prosperity that lasts. Enduring prosperity. There is an enduring. With me are riches and honor. Enduring wealth and prosperity. Enduring. It means lasting wealth and prosperity. And before you receive this anointing for lasting wealth and prosperity, God will bring you under a spiritual authority. And God will try you and test you. Hallelujah. Severe tests. severe test. He will test you with women. He will allow ladies to come around you. Poverty, pride. I've just mentioned them. People will mention your name. Hey, you are doing well, you are doing. If you don't know and that enters your head, you are finished. You are finished. How many of you have heard of Jimmy Swaggart? How many of you have heard of Jimmy Swaggart? Jimmy Swaggart. That man was a great man. He was a man who fell and I cried for weeks. I lost appetite because I saw part of my ministry in Jimmy Swaggart. I watched him. I listened to his tapes a lot. In fact, no week will pass without me watching Jimmy Swaggart. When I heard that he fell, I cried because my idol has fallen. And do you know the story? Do you know the story? There were two. At the age of 19, God started using them. In fact, apart from Billy Graham, Jimmy Swaggart is a man who has pulled crowd. When he goes to a place, millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands, they gather. He will minister in music and then start preaching and releasing miracles. Jimmy Swaggart, there were two. Jimmy Swaggart and David Wilkinson. They started together. And at a certain point, David Wilkinson, because I was trying to find out what happened, David Wilkinson advised his friend. He said, my friend, the way God is lifting us, we need an authority. We need to stay under spiritual authority. There were assemblies of God. Jimmy Swaggart was assemblies of God. He said, oh, God is using us. We can also hear from God. Can't you hear from God? Who do we submit to? Can't you hear? We should submit to the Holy Spirit. So they were doing their thing. David Wilkinson submitted to authority. Jimmy Swaggart came out of authority. It wasn't long. When Jimmy Swaggart fell, the man who had controlled crowds, any place he travels to, Jimmy Swaggart. Today, he's not dead though. He's alive. How many of you hear Jimmy Swaggart again? How many of you hear him again? How many? His church is just like this today. Somebody whose church had hundreds of thousands is now like this. Like where we are seated here. God brought him down to land. Child of God. Youth, who is coming up? Don't let such a thing happen to you. You know, with God, the lessons you did not learn in class one, he will allow your anointing to increase. You go. When you get to PAD, he will bring you back to class one. The lessons you didn't learn at class one, God will bring you back. A lot of men of God come to me and they say, we want to become you to become our spiritual father. I want you to become my spiritual father. I ask them, do you know something? I don't know you. I don't know you. I don't know how you came up. All of a sudden, I should become your spiritual father. I can become your guardian. I can become one of your guardians. But to become your spiritual father will be difficult because I don't know your upbringing. So I can become one of your guardians. So that is it. I am one of your guardians. Because for me to become your spiritual father, I should know how you came up. I should know you very well. I should know you very well before I can become your spiritual father. I must begat you. I must bring you forth. The number of years you have stayed under my anointing, the number of years you have listened to my messages, God's messages through me, the number of years you have submitted and obedient, then I can know where to touch you. I can know what to do with you. But now, I don't know whether you are a rebel. You are a general overseer. You are something. Maybe you broke away somebody's church. Then all of a sudden, you come and hide under me. That my spiritual covering. I can't give you spiritual covering. Only your spiritual father can give you a spiritual covering. But I can be one of your guardians. One of your mentors. And I was asking one man of God. I don't want to call him prophet or whatever so that you may think. He came to me. He said, God sent me and I am starting. I am starting because I can hear from God. And I said to him, who have you submitted to? So, who, submission, I can hear from God. Then I asked him, I said, I mentioned five names. Have you heard of these names? Men that had ever lived. In fact, if I mention those names, only the elderly here, those who have been Christian about 35 years to 40 years, they may hear those names. Yes, Ghanaian names. Ghanaians. One of them, at a crusade, when he raises his hand like this, in fact, his left hand, when he raises the left hand like this, you see cripples walking. And all these five, they have preached in my former church before. But I asked the man, have you ever heard them again? He said, I've heard them before, but I haven't heard. I said, when was the last time you heard about this man? You heard about this evangelist? You heard about this? All the five, only two are dead. The three are alive. And you know, the three who are alive, they are still in the ministry. They are still in the ministry, but they are not known. After the whole world got to know them, God brought them back to come and learn the things they didn't learn at class one. God silenced them like Jimmy Swaggart. This is a fear I have for modern day youth who are not submissive, who think you know everything. This is my fear for you. That after the prime of your life, Job said, at the prime of my life, I have been cast down. So that your anointing will deceive you. I am operating. After all, God is speaking to me. I can also hear from God. Look, anointing can deceive you. You can just be going like Jimmy Swagger. After the whole world ahead of you, that's when God will bring you down. Go back and learn from class one. Today, like I mentioned, Jimmy Swagger, his church is just like here. Sun Life TV. What is the name of his church? I should have searched it during the second service. It is there. Jimmy Swagger is not dead. And these five men of God, Ghanaian men I mentioned, two are dead, but three are still there. But nobody is hearing of them. Nobody is hearing of them because they did not humble themselves. Please, your destiny is not everywhere. Your testimony is not everywhere. Today you are in church. This church for 3 months. This church for 3 years. If there's something that doesn't go well with you, you jump. You are into another one. Let me tell you, such a person, you will not achieve anything in life. Do not achieve anything in life. Who is speaking into your life? The next thing is that I need to finish this quickly. Your testimony and destiny is connected to a particular season. Say season. A particular season of time. You must discern the season. You must discern the times prayerfully. And stay by, how do you determine your time and season? Stay very close to God. Develop a walk in the spirit. Develop a walk in the spirit. Spend time meditating on the word of God. Then you can know your time and your season. Number four, your testimony and destiny and appointed time is connected to a particular message. A particular hot message. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 5. 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 5. 1 Samuel 22, 1 to 5. Samuel was being pursued by, David was being pursued by King Saul. He was running from place to place. His father and mother also ran to him. There are about 600 people who were also being pursued. They all ran to David, be our leader. The burden was too heavy for him. So David went to Gera, to the king, and left his father and mother and all the, say, please, keep these people for me. Let me go and hide myself in the cave and hear what God will say. So they went to hide themselves in the cave. Don't look at your time. It's not yet time. He went to hide himself in the cave. He went to hide himself in the cave. I don't like when I'm preaching and people are looking at their time. You are insulting me. Yes, you are insulting God. Sorry for that. Now, he went and hid himself in the cave. And whilst he hid himself in the cave, God sent a prophet called Gad to go to David. He said, get out from here. Leave this place. Leave this place. And then God directed, David, where to go. Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, Family Worship Center. Fine. Go and Google Family Worship Center. That's Jimmy Swaggart's ministry now. Family Worship Center. And see how the chapel is very small. This is a man who has controlled crowds. But because he didn't learn foundational lessons, he grew. Boom! God said, go back. You see, one thing about the school of God. So sometimes I've been laughing at people. Me, I don't envy people, because I know principles. Look, don't envy people. When people are rising, look, in the secular schools, they can do what? They can jump you. The lady pastor was jumped several times, elementary school. She was jumped. From class one, they send her to class three. From class three, they send her to another class. When she was in class six, she was solving mathematics for middle school. They were taking her from class six to middle school to go and solve mathematics problem. Secular can jump you, but God doesn't jump. God doesn't jump you. You can do everything and maneuver and try to escape the process. There is a time he will bring you back. That time you are known. Oh, Delali Boja. Oh, that great man. The lessons you didn't learn, he will bring you back. That time people will not hear of you. They will think you have backslided, but he's teaching you lessons. When you are humble, God will lift you again. When you are not humble, that's the end. You are finished. You are finished. Thank you very much for that. Family Worship Center. Jimmy Swaggart. Go and Google and then you see it. So you see, there is a word. And you see, sometimes this word for your season, it can be a word of instruction to do or not to do something. It could be a direction that God will give you. It could be a warning. It could be a rebuke. It could be a commendation. It could be an encouragement. Last Sunday, I understand that. Was it last Sunday or last two Sunday? Many of you thought that I spoke too hard. The way I spoke, it made some people sad. Oh, my yes, yeah, and no more. Many, very soon you'll not hear this voice again. This and this and this and do you know something? People thought I've taken lifting. I didn't take lifting. You miss it too much. Yes, because you think when I take too much lifting, then I misbehave. You miss it. It was not lifting. It was an awakening message to wake you up that time is no more there. You cannot relax. Instead of people taking it that, hey, we are being quickened and awakening. They say the man has taken his lifting again. It's not lifting. It has nothing connected to lifting. Sometimes your appointed message will be a rebuke, a hard rebuke. That's why when you are listening to message, don't compare message at this thing they are saying. I know they are talking about a course. Never. It's not a course. Take it for yourself. Hallelujah. Look, I've made it a point. If I should call that madam here, that madam, come and stand here and preach. When she stands here, I'll get the message for myself. Anybody who stands here, I'll get the message for myself. That should be, as a Christian and a child of God, that should be your attitude. Amen. Number five, your testimony and destiny for your appointed time is connected to a particular prayer you should be praying. Please, there are prayers to pray. Ask God, what prayer should I pray at this time? It can be a prayer of confession, a prayer of thanksgiving, a commanding prayer, a prayer of decree. Then number six, your testimony and destiny for your appointed time is connected to a particular service to be rendered unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Romans 12, 1. That we should offer our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. For this is your reasonable heart service. Let me tell you, say, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Some verses say, this is your heart, reasonable service. Do you know why it is called sacrifice? Anything is sacrificed when it is difficult to do. Yes, but you have to do it. That becomes a sacrifice. Your body is tired. Ask the lady pastor. When you operate the anointing, it's not easy. How many of you want to walk with God? How many of you want to operate in the anointing? It's not easy. I say, sometimes I am tired. Then God will be speaking to me. I have to get up and write. I have to get, I will tell and say, Gladys, God is talking to me. I have to write this thing down. But I am tired. I have to get up and what? Write. That's it. That's what you call sacrifice. The body is tired. There is a strong temptation. But you say, for the sake of Christ, I will not submit. That's a sacrifice. There is no money in the pocket, but there is a need for you to sow. There is a need for you to give. That thing you are going to give is God's sacrifice. And let me tell you, one of the keys you use to arrest God is sacrifice. When it is difficult, but you try to do, that is what touches God. Sacrifice. Look, sacrifice never fails. Even when you sacrifice to the devil, he never fails you. How much more God? Sacrifice never fails. You have no time, but you have to give some time to God. That's sacrifice. Like somebody is looking at the watch. You have somewhere to go, but no, this time, no, God first. That is what? Sacrifice. That is sacrifice. That is, what are you sacrificing? Tell me, what have you, look, anything you do in your convenience is not sacrifice. Hello? Anything you do conveniently is not a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. One day, a woman came here and brought me an envelope and said, my husband has been watching you in Lebanon. And my husband said, my husband was in a certain problem and he was just going to YouTube and then Googling and then he went deliverance service to God and you were preaching and you were talking to him. And since that day, my husband has been watching you from Lebanon. We have too many problems. I am having too many problems here with the children. My husband is having too many problems. But my husband said, I should come and sow a seed into your life. When he gave me the envelope, when I opened the envelope, when I went to the office and opened the envelope, tears started running. One Ghana city and two Ghana cities. They were torn. They were tired. The city, one city and two, you can see that they were tired. They were tired. So I called the woman on phone. You can say, write your telephone number. And one of the days she came to see me. And I put 500 Ghana cedis in an envelope. I said, hold it. And I prayed. I said, this money should trigger something in your life. Should end poverty in your life. Should terminate struggles in your life. I made some pronouncement. I said, pastor, why do you do this? My husband said, I said, no. When I opened the envelope and I saw the money you put inside, I realized that you have sacrificed. He said, pastor, do you know that day? I walked from Ablekuma to a certain place before I could take car. Because if I take car from Ablekuma to that place, I can't go back. Thank God the woman called me. Say, pastor, since you prayed over that money and gave it to me, my life has changed. Beloved, you must learn to sacrifice. Some people say, oh, my church is just behind my house. I won't go to church far away. Let me tell you, if that is where God says your destiny is, please stay there. Stay there. It is not about where the church is located. Oh, you must sacrifice something. Sometimes you are going to church and then your dress tears your dress. Ow! Look at it. Rejoice. Heaven will start rejoicing because of what you are going through to go and serve God. Do you know what people are going through in Afghanistan right now? Right now, last week, up to today. Do you know what is happening? When the Taliban, when they take your mobile phone and then they see any Bible app on it, in it, and then they see that you are a Christian, they shoot you. Bah! They shoot you. Bah! What have you gone through? What are you sacrificing? The next point is that, in fact, identify all the above I've mentioned. And after you have identified them, persevere in them. Identify them prayerfully. Then persevere in them. Persevere in faith. Persevere in prayer. Persevere in all your actions. Persevere in service. Amen. Shall we rise? If you are here, you haven't given your life to Jesus. Beloved, maybe you are watching on phone. Look, Jesus is coming soon. You are watching on Facebook. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. What are you sacrificing? In fact, during the first service, I thought about tithing. One of the tests, the testing of tithing. God tests me in tithing. Yes, during harvest time, I have to go and carry concrete and bring the money. Some of you are not paying tithe. I'm telling you, if you don't pay tithe, zero for you. You will struggle financially. Pastor Roger was here, money service. He pays my tithe. He pays my tithe. Yes, I pay. The last month, I paid 3,000 tithe. 3,000, 5,000. 6,000, 7,000. That is my tithe. I don't receive that. Deacon Christian, I don't know whether he's here. They know how much they pay me. They know how much they pay me. One time I was asked, hey, how much do you receive? They saw the figure when we went for credential round. When they saw the figure, they said, this man, because I've come to understand tithe so much that I don't pay 10% again. I just remove some amount. I will calculate the 10%. Then I will add some amount because of how good God has been to me. That's how I pay my tithe. Let me tell you, God will test you with 100 cedis. If you can't give God 10 cedis as your tithe consistently, you have failed. You have failed. I don't know the percentage I'm giving now. Because after I calculate my tithe, look, when I'm calculating my tithe, my salary tithe number one, my allowances number two, then my Momo, any money I receive from Momo, I'll go to my Momo from the first day of the month. Anybody that sent me money or units, I calculate all tithe. My Voda cash, I go, I calculate all tithe. Tithe. Any envelope I receive here, I go, I calculate tithe. So when I am paying it, it is big. It is big. I see that that's not my salary. Tithe record shows that many of you musicians, you are not paying tithe. I'm telling you, prayer will not work for you. No wonder your prophetic words. Let me tell you, when you pay tithe, do you know what happens? You receive revelation. You receive ideas. Some of you are waiting until the money becomes big before you pay tithe. If you can't pay tithe on 10 cedis, you have failed. He will start one cedi on 10 cedis. As you are consistent, then he's opening the door. If you are here, you are not serious with God. Please, it's time to be serious. It's time to be serious. If you are not committed, it's time to be committed. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, Jesus is coming soon. We are already going through the tribulation. With this fasting things and all that, the tribulation has started. It is not yet the great tribulation, because the great tribulation will not be here. But the tribulation has already started. Very soon, If you don't take the vaccine, you can't go to any shop. You can't enter any car. You can't go to some places. Some countries, they have started it. They have started it by force. It is time for a Christian to be what? Serious. This was the alert I was giving you last Sunday. And many of you thought that I was frightening you. No, it was a wake-up call. Say, Lord, help me not to miss my time. Help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Help me, help me, Lord. Help me, help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Make that declaration right now.
Lord, help me. Help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Help me not to miss
Shatakali retos katayaka.
Father, help me. Lord,
help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place.
Help me not to miss. Help me not to miss my appointed time and my appointed place. Help me, Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord.
Shataka lebretos kata. Lebreketo kalebre etos. Shalakreto kasete tekele. Lebreketo kalebre etos ka. Shalakretos kataya. Lebreketo kalebre etos kata. Lakretos katara kato kalebrete. Lebebeke tekele kretos kata. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
One of the foundational problems with many Christians is that many people came out of their appointed places too early. And so it has jammed your computer. It has jammed your system. I'm telling you. It has jammed your system. People come and ask me, what is your secret? I say, my secret is that I know spiritual principles. I know spiritual principles. Every year, I give God first fruit. I've started piling down my first fruit because I know how much I will receive in January. So I've started piling my first salary. I've started putting it down for my first fruit. Total first fruit. Yes. If you have a company, pay tight on your company. Company tight. Company tight. I will take time and talk about tight. The day I will talk about tithing, many of you will know that you have cheated yourself. You have cheated yourself. I'm telling you. You have cheated yourself. The accountant was telling me, Pastor, if you know the people who don't pay tithe in this church, we will not show it to you. We will never give you the book to see. Because if you see it, the next Sunday you will not come to church and preach. Your heart will break. I say, Zazu, so say yes. Those who don't pay tithe. And those who even don't pay correct tithe, I say, then Lord, let me see it. Don't let me see it. Why? Who are you cheating? The thing cannot suffice you. That money you kept as tithe, and then you chop it. What will he do for you? Why don't you give God's portion to him so that he opens doors for you? What? Ask my wife. We don't joke. Look, there was a time that we had to give all our salary. We have to give everything. I say, God, if we will die, let us die. That month, we receive four times how much we have been receiving. Four times how much we have been receiving. That month, two people came out that the Lord has touched me to be giving you this amount every month. This one to be giving you this amount every month. That year, somebody gave me his card. That use my card for fuel. Use this card. Go to Goel. Fill your tank every week. That was when tithe entered into us more. Say, why didn't we know this? Because we're owing tithe. So we gathered all. He said, look, salary, everything, go. From that time up to today. And when you started paying first fruit, when you pay tithe, God gives you revelation, ideas. We want to pray two prayers. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Every enemy at my gate.
Every enemy at my gate.
Because of this person who watched the time, I am rushing because I don't want to waste her time.
Say, every enemy at my gate. Arrest every enemy at the gate. Every enemy at the gate of my appointed time and my appointed season. Holy Ghost, arrest them. Arrest them, arrest them. Arrest the enemy at the gate.
Arrest them.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Say, diverters at the gate
of my time and season,
blockers at the gate
of my time and season,
aborters at the gate of my time and season.
Now, listen. You must always protect the gate of your life. I'm telling you, your gate is the entry point. Like somebody is coming, God has sent somebody to Lucrece. And then on the way, the person meets somebody. Oh, where are you going? Oh, I am going to Lucrece. The Lord has started to say, that girl, you don't know, you haven't heard. Do you know, that's an aborter. That's a diverter at the gate. Some years ago, when we were in the wooden structure at the car park there, a rich woman that I prayed for before, the Lord just touched her. She couldn't sleep the whole night. He said, get up and go to that church and begin to support that church. She was using Mercedes-Benz ML four-wheel. The lady came here. I think that time I was then preaching. I just started. She said, they just introduced me when she came. She heard it. The lady came here. For 15 minutes, an usher would not show her where to park the car. When she parked, she said, lady, move your car from there. When she said, please, where? Say, find a place. When she come to park here, the usher would say, move your car from there. When she come to this place, then she said, God, I didn't hear well. She drove back. That lady was an aborter. That lady was an enemy at the gate. That lady was a diverter. That usher was a diverter. That usher, do you know how many of you, your secretaries, they can be gates. They can be diverters and aborters. People who are very close to you. That's why people who are close to me, I hold them tight when they misbehave. You don't know why I hold you tight when you misbehave. Because through you, the enemy can get me. Through whom did they get you? Did they get Jesus Christ? Judas Iscariot said, the one who put his hand with me will betray me. Say, my Father in heaven.
My Father in heaven.
Every aborter at my gate.
Every aborter at my gate.
Every destroyer at my gate.
Every destroyer at my gate.
Every diverter at my gate. Holy Ghost, arrest them.
Holy Ghost,
expose them. And arrest them. Expose them. And arrest them. Expose them. And arrest them. Shata karabo shata. Lebreketo kalebrete. Shata kamali karotaka. Expose them and arrest them.
Shatakale retos
Shalarete kebos Shelekreto kaste kebash Lepreketo kalepre etos kat Lepreketo kalepre etos. Every destroyer at my gate, aborters, blockers at my gate, 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 blockers at my gate,
In Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ. Yeah.